Your hands are trembling. The blank canvas stares back. That voice in your head whispers that you're not talented enough, trained enough, connected enough to call yourself an artist. But what if everything you've been told about becoming an artist is wrong? What if the barrier between you and your creative life isn't skill or credentials? It's simply permission. Jerry Seltz's Radical Manifesto tears down the gatekeeping myths of the art world with a simple truth. You don't need anyone's approval to begin. Not from galleries, not from critics, not even from yourself. The only requirement is courage, the willingness to make your first mark and keep making them, even when everything inside you screams to stop. Every master was once a disaster. Picasso made clumsy childhood drawings. Your first attempts will likely be terrible. That's not just okay, it's essential. Fear of humiliation paralyzes more artists than lack of talent ever could. Here's the secret. Art doesn't need to make sense. Like birdsong, it exists as patterns and emotional shifts that resist translation. Each piece you create is a culturescape of you, your memories, neuroses, contradictions woven together. The goal isn't immediate brilliance, but authentic expression. Paradoxically, work that makes instant sense loses interest just as quickly. Your imagination functions as a lens, enlarging life itself. William Blake understood this. The imagination is not a state, it is human existence itself. Technical proficiency matters only in what you do with it. Tell your story, but understand authenticity doesn't automatically earn applause. You must create work that resonates beyond yourself. Artists often feel guided by something outside themselves. Bob Dylan described it perfectly. It's like a ghost is writing, except the ghost picked me to write the song. Trust this mysterious process rather than fighting it. Create within 2 hours of waking before daily demons take you down. If working after hours, rest 90 minutes first. Your exhausted mind needs this buffer. Remember, if you can write, you already know how to draw. Your handwriting is drawing. Your doodles are drawing. While making marks, notice physical feedback. Your hand, wrist, arm, eyes, the smell and touch of materials. Try wrapping fingers in fabric. Use your non-dominant hand. Plug your ears. Glenn Gould practiced piano with blasting radios and TVs to feel rather than hear his playing. Pay attention without judging. Notice what feels useful, pleasurable, strange, or lucky. Hide secrets in your work. Dance with these experiences until you make up your own steps. Carry a sketchbook always. Draw on anything, rock, metal, cups, sidewalks. All art is decoration at some level. Draw what's within a square foot of you, then from the opposite side. You're becoming better, even if you don't know it yet. Imitation is essential. We all begin as copycats. Writers copy favorite authors. Musicians play others' compositions first. But pure pastiche leads to predictable work. Focus on the spaces between styles and forms. These gaps are where genuine discovery happens. Francis Bacon transformed influences from Velázquez and photography into something uniquely haunting. Basquiat combined street art with modernist painting to create his distinctive voice. Keep working until the art becomes genuinely yours, recognizing this often takes years. Your studio, even if it's just a dining table cleared at night, is sacred space. Inventor's laboratory, teenager's bedroom, mechanic's garage, fortress of solitude. Here, you're responsible for everything and free from what you don't want. Get into your body, breathe deeply, pace the floor, prepare materials with intention. Leave something unfinished each day to help restart tomorrow. Every artist develops their own relationship with borders and space. Picasso's subjects never run off his canvas. Figures fit within four borders, creating tension through containment. Matisse followed no such rules. Legs, feet, heads crop freely. Patterns shoot past edges, celebrating freedom. Study artists across history, identifying their compositional tendencies to understand fundamental approaches to visual space. Art's subjectivity means your reaction to recognized masters can differ from consensus. Finding Rembrandt pretty brown doesn't make you wrong. Like Hamlet, art remains unchanged, yet appears different to each viewer. This should liberate you. Stop obsessing over perfection and move forward. Looking hard means becoming rapt, transforming into a seeing machine, where blue becomes something beyond itself. This deliberate seeing expands your world and can rescue you from despair. Artists communicate indirectly, placing something between themselves and their audience. Even representational work encompasses materials, techniques, and worldview, never solely subject matter. This is why artists hate explaining their work's meaning. Sometimes, understanding requires persistence. For years, Cézanne seemed like apples, choppy mountains, bathers, meh. But repeated visits revealed masterful orchestration of planes, subtle focus shifts, and powerful visual architecture. If certain artists puzzle you, keep a list and revisit them. Once you break through with one, move to another, continually expanding your vision. The art world is a complex ecosystem of galleries, critics, collectors, and fellow artists. Courage exists in every good artwork. Put faith in your art to stave off cynicism. Consider Alice Neal making rough-hewn portraits in Harlem when no one appreciated them, or Cy Twombly deploying erratic scrawls. Their belief allowed their art to follow intuitive logic. Graduate school offers valuable peer relationships but carries financial risk. Most programs are expensive, and the career bump from prestigious schools typically lasts only 18 months while debt remains. If school isn't an option, make the world your syllabus. Spend time with other artists your age. These relationships form networks, protecting against insecurity, isolation, and arrogance. About 95% of artists scrape by, juggling multiple jobs to sustain their practice. The best definition of success is time to do your work. You need just one good dealer, 5 or 6 serious collectors, 2 or 3 critics, and 1 or 2 curators. That's 12 people. Put yourself out there strategically. Keep artist statements simple and authentic. Write in your own voice, avoiding jargon. Remember that persistence often matters more than talent. Persistence transforms even unpromising talents. Jackson Pollock willed himself to newness through sheer determination. Don't let envy define you. Set daily deadlines like famous artists did. Develop thick skin. Monet faced repeated rejection. Monet's work was called inconceivably vulgar. Keep rejection letters as motivation. When criticized, ask if there's truth worth learning from. The notion that children harm careers is absurd. 90% of historical artists had them. Mother artists master efficiency, resilience, and clarity. Artists don't own their work's meaning. Anyone may experience your art in unintended ways, which means it's alive. Art is less an arrow than a plasma cloud, always with us, but never the same. Georgia O'Keeffe exemplified radical vulnerability. Despite critics reducing her abstract work to anatomical comparisons, she remained steadfast, transforming criticism into fuel. When 3 a.m. demons whisper about inadequate credentials, acknowledge them briefly, then affirm, "Yeah, but I'm a genius." This claims your right to create despite imperfection. Dance at least once yearly. It connects us to humanity's oldest expressions, reminding us that art lives in the body,